Thank you for sticking with me through some of that philosophical stuff. We're going to turn now to the Bible to say where it all began. Where did this battle start and how did it start? This is an important section of Scripture, these passages that we're going to look at, because they give us some insight into who our enemy is and what he might be like, because we have some misconceptions there too. And so we're going to look today at where it all began. In order to look at where it all began, we have to go back to some Old Testament scriptures. In fact, they're rather fascinating ones. And we'll find that the battle started with war in heaven. And I love that picture there. That's of an angel with a sword in his hand. And he is, looking around there, that there's all these symbols of evil, and in comes the good. Well, this started in heaven. And there's some obscure passages that we're going to consider. But as we look at them, be aware that these are all passages where we're giving insight. At least scholars believe these refer to our enemy. It goes by various names, but he's the devil, Satan. We're going to look at his names after we're done with these next few sessions. But it begins with war in heaven. Look at this passage. This is Ezekiel 28. And again, look at these words. It is assumed that these were words to describe Satan, the devil, our enemy. And God is saying, "You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence, and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuary, so I made fire come out of you, and it consumed you, and I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching." Now, if we look at that and we say, that sounds like something. There's an angel. This is a cherub, and something happened up in heaven, and that resulted in something happening on earth. Now, that's the first passage. Here's the second one. This is from Isaiah 14. "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount Assembly on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.' But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit." Now, a couple of things to notice there. First of all, notice that this being has several I statements. Kind of an egocentrist here, right? He's stuck on himself. "I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly." Now, the stars of God are the idea that God was above the creation. So he's saying, "I'm going to go above the creation. I'm going to go to the mount of assembly." That's where, God apparently would gather and rule from, where the angels would assemble. We get a glimpse of it in Job chapter 1 and 2, where Satan comes into the assembly room and God asks him, "Where have you been?" We're going to look at that passage a little bit later. But I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Now, does that sound like anybody you know? Some things we learn about our enemy here that we should be aware of. First of all, he is a beautiful created being. This is an angel, so God created the angels and apparently gave them free will, much as he gave free will to the beings created in his image. And this creature, and you know, approximately one-third of the angels of heaven chose to disobey God, to leave God, to rebel against him, to try to take over from him. But he was a beautiful created being. Did you catch some of those descriptions of him? You know, people followed you because of your splendor. You are a morning star. Consider that first burst of light to be so, so incredible. Now, that's not the way we often picture Satan in our culture here in the United States, and probably with yours. I mean, this is more of the typical view of Satan, right? And I began to look this week, how did we get this? Because Satan is this beautiful creature when God creates him. And Paul says he's going to come like an angel of light. We'll talk more about the process of temptation later. But he doesn't come as this ugly, repulsive being. So I began to look, where do we get this idea of him? And part of it is, you know, describing the devils in some classic poetry, Dante and his Inferno of Hell, and he's describing the creatures there. But so this is where we think that some of this came from, that the large tail, the long tail of a reptile, is a symbol connected to the book of Revelation, where John writes, a great red dragon, and his tail swept a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. So, you know, this is something that comes out of the picture of that rather troubling and confusing sometimes book of Revelation. The pitchfork, known as a trident or sometimes a bident with two prongs, was something that was used by the Greek god of the underworld, a god named Hades. So it represented sovereignty over the dead, since Satan is viewed as the lord of hell. He's frequently pictured with that pitchfork. Red tights. Interesting. The wearing of red tights is more of a recent invention, apparently, highly influenced by Walt Disney and others trying to picture devils, and so they put him red. At the same time, it's also something that goes back to the medieval morality plays. Back in the Middle Ages, they would do these plays about morality, and some of it would be kind of like the devil on one side speaking, as we have in cartoons, and the on the other side is an angel trying to convince somebody to do good. These kind of plays pictured the devil in red tights. Now, C.S. Lewis, we're going to quote him occasionally, he's a great Christian author from the middle of the 20th century, and somebody who was an atheist who became a believer. Anyway, he wrote marvelous books as he became a Christian. As an atheist, he gradually became a Christian as he looked at and read some great Christian minds in England at the time. And when he was converted, he said, you've got to picture me that night in Magdalene, always feeling the approach of God. He said, and yet, he said, I was dragged kicking and screaming into the kingdom as the most reluctant convert in all of England. But then he said, who can rightly adore a God who does that? Well, he turned his mind to devils, and he wrote a great book, Screwtape Letters, if you can get it. It's a marvelous thing. It's the letters of in the hierarchy of hell, of a higher devil, a supervisor giving advice to a lower devil who's assigned to a particular person. This is what he says in one of his books. He says he's trying to criticize making the devil look comic. So the fact that devils are predominantly comic figures in modern imagination will help you. If any faint suspicion of your existence begin to arise in his mind, suggest to him a picture of something in red tights and persuade him that since he cannot believe in that, it is an old textbook method of confusing him, he therefore cannot believe in you. Now, what he's saying there, this is from Screwtape Letters, where the devil, higher devil, is giving advice to the lower devil who's assigned to try to keep his, the person he's trying to get in hell, trying to keep him confused, and that is, okay, anytime you have to bring his mind to this comic figure of this gross being. And so, So picture him with red tights. The horns, again, probably come from Revelation, where John describes a great beast, usually associated with Satan, and the lamb had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. And that's where we get this great number there, the number associated. And the cloven number associated with him, and it's 666, and that's a symbolic thing that we're not going to cover in this class. And the cloven hoofs, says our modern depiction of Satan is the Greek god of Pan. He was known as the god of wilderness, and many stories associate him with lust. Pan's sinful activities had him presented with a cloven hoof. So this is the way we picture him. And it's to make him not so much a scary figure as a comic one that would allow us to, you know, just dismiss it as something out of another world. But the Bible tells us now he was created as a being of light, as a splendid creature. Now, I share that with you because this is who he was. He was this honored angel, one who was a guardian cherub, one who had a position of influence and power and might in serving God Almighty, his creator. And yet he chose to rebel, and he got others to rebel. And here's just one incredibly powerful section of scripture that in the book of Revelation. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael, the archangel, a ruling angel, and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. So where are they? They went from being unlimited in a creation that is so vast and so broad, and now they're here, continuing to work against the work of God, continuing to challenge the building of his kingdom. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the power, the salvation, and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down." We're going to look at that section when we identify the names of Satan, that he is the accuser of our brothers and sisters. But notice that it involves war in heaven. Before it ever came to earth, before there were creatures that were ever created in the image of God, there was this battle that took place. And so be aware of this. Who is he? He's a creature of great power. He's a creature of great splendor, and he's a creature that when we look at him, we are attracted to him, because he is beautiful, and he is delightful. And as Paul says, and we'll look at that, he appears to us as an angel of light, something so very good. Now, think for a moment, how you react to that. Does that fill you with fear? Does that fill you with faith? This is a reality that is our reality. You know, when we looked at those five elephants and you have six people trying to figure out what's an elephant? Well, he's this, he's this, he's this, he's this, he's this, because of his experience. Now look at the world and say, where is their presence of this great evil being, one that defied God, that said, "I'm going to make myself like the Most High. I. Where do you see him?" We're going to start looking at that in the next section when we look at how the battle moves to earth. Battle was in heaven, right? Among those heavenly, spiritual, fantastic beings. But now it's going to move to earth with the created being, particularly those created beings who are in the image of God, that he is the sworn enemy of. So this is our reality. This class is going to be a little bit shorter because I want to get into the next one. And so let's close this session with prayer as well. Lord, we are guilty of, you know, picturing Satan as a comic figure. Lord, open our eyes and our minds to the fact that he appears not as something ugly, but as something beautiful, something tempting. And Lord, again, we thank you that you are greater than our enemy, that you are greater than all. You are the sovereign ruling Lord, one who defeated, through your angel Michael and others, the enemy at one time. Lord, continue to teach us so that we might defeat him regularly here on this earth now. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Next time we're going to look at how the battle moves to earth. I invite you to join me then.